Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's gonna be boo-boo this entire time, I'm gonna be mad.
Howdy and welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast. We're your hosts, Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. And today we have a special guest. We've got Grant Sabatier. I get that right? I think that's right.
That works, yeah. And
this is just kind of like a pulling back the curtain. We're sitting here trying to figure out how to pronounce his French name. And then Bobby like says one thing and Grant says another thing. And next thing you know, like they're joking around and I can't remember which one it is now. Like it's so confusing. So thus is the life of being a podcast host. But anyway, we got Grant here. You might know him as the owner of millennialmoney.com. He's the author of the new book, Financial Freedom, which is coming out. When is that dropping, man?
Today, man.
Oh, it's
everywhere. Oh. Not today, but today when this podcast drops everywhere. Worldwide.
Gotcha. Got it.
February 5th, financialfreedombook.com, Amazon, Financial Freedom, available worldwide, everywhere books are sold, February 5th.
Awesome. So you need to grab this thing. It's like a tome. So, I mean, it is, you said it was like 300 pages. It is packed full of stuff. I'm going to get my learn on. And big side hustle section all about, you know, you said you had stuff about real estate investing. Well, really, I want to come back and like let you kind of talk about it toward the end of the episode and just like give us a lowdown because I can't do it justice. But today, you know, you're here to talk to the Laptop Empires crew, share some information. You know, you guys, I'm really excited about this. I met Grant for the first time at FinCon earlier this year in Orlando, and Bobby had told me about him, and they've done the mastermind together and done all kinds of things together. But man, there were times we're up, it's like 3 a.m. and they're closing. I mean, they're literally turning the lights off at the bar and we're just the only 3 people in the room talking, and we're talking shop. Like it's just ridiculous. We had Grant about falling out of his chair laughing so hard. we had a good time. So I'm excited about this because we always have good conversations and I'm pretty sure that that's how this will go down too. So we're going to talk about SEO, right? We're going to talk about you know, in 2019, what SEO looks like. You know, this is how Grant, you know, you guys know Bobby built his blog on the back of Facebook ads, but Grant built his more traditionally, I guess you would say, on the back of SEO and really crushes it with that and has given us some great advice. So today we're going to talk about, you know, what you can expect in 2019, what you have to do differently, and really how do you not be a little copycat clone of everybody, which will get you nowhere? How do you stand out in the crowd and do it in a way where Google rewards you with that sweet, sweet traffic? So I don't know which one of you wants to start talking next, but somebody take it away.
Grant, yeah. I mean, Grant, you can go because I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to kind of learn because Grant, I've watched Grant for years now. I mean, Grant, we both started at pretty much the same time, like probably within months of each other, right?
Yep, like, absolutely. You're like two months. You started 2 months before me.
Yeah, which is so funny. I can't believe like we both started the millennial money man and millennial money thing to like at the same time. It was a very good land grab by us. But yeah, I've watched Grant grow his blog. I mean, dude, you're a freaking author now. Like when I first met you, or just like me, where you're just starting out blogging and like putting together a website and everything. So it's been cool to watch this whole thing. And I think the SEO component of this is kind of where I feel like you got a lot of your start, a lot of your visibility. And I think all of that was strategic. I think people need to understand that. Like Grant didn't just like start tinkering around with SEO and like, you know, all of a sudden become an author. Like I feel like this whole thing has been part of your grandmaster plan for years. So anyway, you want to talk about that and what you've, you know, kind of how you started with SEO and then give us some actionable tips or?
Well, first, do you have like a grandmaster plan? Like, is that true? Like, I mean, I know you're very strategic, but like, is that how you view it? Or are you just more of like a kind of wing it, like strategically wing it? Or do you like, hey, this is what I'm doing this year, next year, like, I'm just curious how much you have it mapped out.
So one of the things somewhere of a hybrid of those two things. And so I'm definitely a very strategic thinker, but then once I make a decision with a strategy, then it's like I get in the sandbox and I just hustle in the sandbox. So the important thing for me to do is I establish the boundaries of the sandbox that I'm going to play in. and then I know what the sandbox is going to be this year, and then I get in and I play. You know, I don't do systematically, I don't do any productivity journaling, I don't do any list making, I don't do any goal setting. What I do is I set my boundaries for like the year, and then I get in and I just go as hard as I can in a lot of cases. And so, yes, this is part of a grand plan to the extent that I wanted to, from the beginning, write a book with, you know, the best publisher that I could. And ultimately, you know, I started the blog, you know, 1 month after I became financially independent. So I'd already done it. You know, I had enough money, more money than I would need for the rest of my life. And my goal was to tell that story and share my story with the world. And so going in, I'd built over 200, 250 websites for other brands. You know, my agency that I had had built websites, had built brands, so many different things. I'd never built one for myself. And so going in, I did about 6 months of planning before I launched millennialmoney.com. And that planning was mostly around analyzing the market opportunity. And so I didn't just like, I'm going to start a blog and hastily get a domain. I'd bought the domain a couple years before in a domain auction. I had it kind of percolating. And then going in, I really analyzed all the other bloggers to see where I could outcompete. And a lot of people just rush into things in life, but I was like, if I'm going to put my time and energy into this thing and share my story, I'm going to do it in the best way that I can. So I went to FinCon the first time, didn't talk to a single person, and I was there analyzing the market. And what I saw was two things. One, there was like all these brands like the Nerd Wallets, and they had blogs and the banks, and then there was all these amateurs. And what I saw was a huge lane up the middle where I could create a blog that was very shiny with a really good brand that was very media friendly. One of the things that has helped with my success is that most banks tell me that my blog is like, you know, one of the safest blogs that they're able to advertise on. Like, and literally what happens when you work with a big bank and sign a big brand partnership, there's someone in their legal team has to go and read every single post that you've written, you know, just to make sure. So all these things. And then from a strategic standpoint, Millennial Money, right, being able to get that branded domain to rank first for it was a, you know, to get the media traffic. So yes, there was a strategy from the beginning to get to the point where I'd have the opportunity to write a book and then, you know, ideally get to a level of public visibility that, you know, I'm just part of the constant money conversation, as well known as like a, you know, Dave Ramsey or Dave Bach, even though I don't want to build companies like theirs, just be able to be a part of that conversation. So that's been the strategy all along. It's playing out, but that doesn't mean that, you know, just because it's working doesn't mean that I've done everything right. What I've done well, I think, is just define that sandbox and play in it really, really well. So I never half-ass anything. Let me just say that. I never half-ass anything ever. And with the blog and SEO now making that transition, going in, you know, I had an SEO background. I had a web design background. So it was really like I was building a fire. And every piece of the website was like another piece of kindling or another piece of paper. Right. So building it the right way, making sure the site was fast, making sure the content was long, making sure the content was truly authentic, truly original. My voice, my story. Google, they're incredibly good now. I mean, just like scary good at understanding sort of like the semantics and sort of even like the just sort of emotional mapping of your content. So they analyze so much content, they can tell how unique your content is. And this doesn't just mean the words, they can tell from the point of view. You know, it's like, it's a very, very human algorithm. And so I see people who write content that's incredibly authentic. That is really kind of the game-changing SEO strategy. It was then, it still is, because 99% of the people out there are doing the same thing. 7 best money tips, 7 best ways to pay down your student loan, 7, and those, and you might rank temporarily for those things, but that's not a longevity strategy, because Google, at the end of the day, they're niching down to where now, just like the plural version of a keyword, so, you know, like putting an S on something is going to have entirely different rankings than something else. So yeah, it was very strategic from the beginning, just like building a fire. And then the gasoline and then the match was the media coverage. So by the time that I got my first big set of backlinks from the media, high quality, natural backlinks, I'd already built that, you know, it's like the match just going on the kindling. and everything blew up. So I was preparing for that match. I didn't know where it was, when it was going to come or if it was going to come, but I was ready for it because I'd already built the foundation, as opposed to getting media attention and then having to try to scramble. So this is like a year and a half buildup of putting pieces together. And that's the thing I encourage all bloggers, is that it's going to take some time. And then the other thing from an SEO perspective, obviously content and quality is king, but you really have to look around and do the hard work of asking yourself, okay, in my niche, what truly makes me different? And just writing a better post about, you know, side hustling, or writing a better post about any topic, is not going to help you rank. It might get you to rank temporarily, but SEO is the long game. It's the compound interest of digital marketing. It builds, it grows over time. And you want to set yourself up for like 5 to 10 years with your blog. And so just writing something that everyone else is writing for the short term, it's just like investing. You know, you don't want to day trade. And, you know, I see that happening in SEO. People make those huge trade-offs, or something that works today, they're trying to game the system today, but then they always get taken down. And I see that in the money world too. Like, I know one blogger who's making, you know, $40,000, $50,000 a month off of one post. I'm not going to name him, but I looked at his backlink profile and I know he's doing, you know, I'd call sort of gray hat SEO techniques. You know, so it's not black hat, it's not white hat, but it's in this gray area where right now the Google algorithm isn't really sort of focused and catching on to that. But 3 months from now, you know, he's going to
just totally lose it all.
Right. And I actually did this. Like, I did a test. So I had a domain, kimandkanye.com. So I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians with my wife like many years ago, and Kanye came on the show and I could tell the googly eyes that he had for Kim. And I was like, dude, like, they're totally going to get together. And I immediately got on my phone, bought kimandkanye.com and kanyeandkims.com. And then I started building content around Kim and Kanye, picture galleries, anytime that there was a photo of them. So by the time in April of that year, the next year, that it came out that they were dating, I'd already built like the spammiest backlink profile. I had like just like 10,000 links. So when the news came out, I ranked number one worldwide for Kim and Kanye searches. And I ranked worldwide for 3 months and I made over $100,000 in those 3 months, but it was all shady links that I was doing like a land grab. You know what I mean? I was just trying to like get in and get out. And then 3 months later, I got completely burned because the algorithm updated and saw what I was doing. But that was like kind of a fun test for me to understand how to like game the system. But I see that people doing that all the day, and they think just because you're getting away with it today, that's not a long-term strategy by any means.
Well, first off, I feel like that's a sign that you have too much time on your hands. Or at least you did back then.
No, I didn't have that much time back on my hands. I'm just always like trying to figure things out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. For me, what's interesting with digital marketing is like not even the new thing. Like, where's this stuff going? You know, it's easy to copy people. And for me, that I was like, I was really into like these like underground SEO forums really early on. And I prided myself on like, I was such a newbie, but I'd found where like the real people hung out, and they were like so far ahead of me that I was like trying to gather what they were gathering and learn what they were learning. Mm-hmm. And so this was just my own test, and all that stuff obviously helped later. I was like, you know, you can't scam the system. You can't beat Google. And also you can't rely on Google. And that's the other thing. I see so many people building their entire infrastructures, their entire businesses on their SEO rankings. And just with one fell swoop, you know, their business disappears. And you have to be proactive in managing and thinking about like those market forces.
Building your email list, yeah. Finding other traffic sources. Yeah, we're big believers in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, even for me right now, like I really didn't focus on SEO at all. for a long time. And now I'm like, okay, I should probably start doing that. So I'm starting to try to figure out like, how does that fit into my overall strategy? But I think a lot of people are trying to figure this thing out. Cause I think, you know, as more bloggers like, you know, see income reports and they see like, we're going to start doing traffic reports on Laptop Empires, and they start seeing all these people having various levels of success. They're trying to figure out, how do they do this? So, you know, can we talk a little bit about what you think right now in 2019 going into like, you know, 2020 in long term, like what should people be doing to differentiate themselves, but also still kind of play the game and also, you know, get traffic? What are you see that going?
Yeah, I think there's two directions you can take. There's like a right or a left. And the right is like what I took, which is like being very vulnerable, very open. You know, so much of the name of the game is backlinks, and you want backlinks from really high quality sources. And the way that you get those, sure, you can go and trade with another blogger and do those things. But the way you get the high quality backlinks is by writing like in a truly distinctive, unique voice. And so actually having something to say and wanting to say something and not just, for example, blogging for money. And that's kind of the right turn that you can take. You can just be truly you, become a better writer. People are going to keep showing up. So, you know, when people keep showing up to your website, your time on page goes up, you know, your bounce rate goes down. Those are two obviously great markers that Google loves. And so people really come to you. Return visits are high. Google's like, okay, this is somewhere people like to come and come back and they trust it and they like it. So that's the right turn. I really think that we're entering into the age of, you know, vulnerability and authenticity. And so like 2019, 2020, 2021, those truly unique content creators are going to keep getting rewarded. I was kind of on that train back in, you know, 2015 when I started. But if you don't want to go that route, I think that that's like the fastest path. It's like the fastest path to being successful. The challenge with that is you have to actually like writing about that content and you have to enjoy. Then there's the left turn that you can make, which is like, okay, I don't want to share my voice, but I want to rank and I want to make money. I think that's a bit of a steeper climb depending upon what industry that you're actually in. And then you have to write not only really, really high quality content, but it has to be constructed in a way that's like perfect for the Google algorithm. So you can be a little bit messy taking that right road, but if you take the left road, you have to be perfect. You know, your content has to be the right length. It has to, and this isn't just like getting a green in with the Yoast plugin. This is like your content has to truly stand out, not just be longer. And that's tough. I mean, going out and just paying writers to write for you to rank, you know, is a short-term strategy. You're going to get some more traffic that way. But the problem is, if you go out and hire, and I see this all the time, a bunch of different writers and try to rank for keywords, you know, your traffic is going to go up. But what's going to happen is your time on site drops and your bounce rate goes up. And this is the kind of idea of, think about SEO like your website is a ship in the ocean and you're trying to kind of get the water to rise. You know, you're trying to get just like, and everything that you do is kind of a vote in the direction for where you want to be. And this is the thing. You could be the ship's a bad analogy. Let's talk about like a building. Like say you're building like a skyscraper and your website and you're trying to get it to be as big as possible. You know, everything that you decide, you know, the tiles, the floor, you know, you're trying to build your building taller. But what happens is if you do something like that and all of a sudden, you know, your time on site drops writ large, it's going to push all of your rankings down. So it's not just a lot of people just look at like that individual page, but Google's viewing you as an entire ecosystem. And that's one of the things, just going the wrong direction, you know, you could be knocked down five floors. And so all that hard work. And so that's one of those things where time on site, bounce rate, those things are becoming increasingly important. Time on mobile site, obviously mobile first algorithm now is like so, so essential.
I think what you were talking about, this whole right lane, left lane thing, the two paths you can go is super important because, I mean, I think what Google's doing, and I know Facebook does this, and I think all of these platforms do this, is they're trying to create the best user experience possible because eyeballs is the number one currency to them. It's how they make their money. It's how they stay relevant. So Google is just trying to make it so that when you search, they show you the best damn content possible. And so what you're talking about everything being perfect from an SEO standpoint, if you go one direction, or maybe it has all of the things, but it's a little bit more personal because people like that, you know, that's going to work and that's going to maybe rank a little bit easier. But I think the important thing to take away from that, at least that right path that you mentioned, is the just having that authentic voice and sharing your story. People love stories. And I think the benefit of that isn't just the SEO part. It's that you can build an audience so much easier. People are going to want to join your email list. They're going to want to, you know, check out your lead magnets, buy your products, buy an affiliate link from you because they feel like you're their friend and you have a connection and those kind of things. So there's definitely, I think, as you were saying that, I'm just nodding. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Because I think that's super important, that we talk so much about building the relationship with your audience. And I like how you brought that up, where you don't have to just be an SEO robot, right? That just becomes a content mill that just cranks things out. You can be authentic. You can have your own voice. You can share stories. You know, you can do all of those things and still have SEO success. And as you said, it's probably better. And so I really like that you brought that up. And I just kind of wanted to highlight that piece.
I think this is also interesting to even just hear you talk about that, because I think even as like a professional blogger, I sit there and I look at other sites and I'm like, man, you know, maybe I should be doing more of this to rank higher in this, or maybe I should be doing this on Pinterest to do this. But I think one of the things that you've done really well is just kind of be yourself, you know, and just do your own thing and tell your own story. And so I want like other bloggers to know, or people that want to get into it. Like, there are a lot of ways to be successful. And Grant and I talk about this in our mastermind that we did and other things we've done. Like, there are a ton of different ways and paths that you can take in this whole thing. But I think ultimately, you know, Grant, you talk about this all the time. Like, you know, we only live once, we only get one shot, and you only have so much time. Like, I know time is something that you talk about a lot. And it's like, how do you want to spend your time? And we've had this conversation where it's like, do you want to spend your time just creating a site that only ranks in Google, and all you're doing all day is checking affiliate links, and that's your life? You wake up and you check links. Or do you want to do something that is a little bit more fulfilling, or whatever? And it depends. Every person is different. But I think you've taken that route where I think you found a good balance between being strategic with your site and then also doing something that I think you enjoy a lot. And I think SEO can fit into that really well, and you've done that. So how do you feel about that? Like, do you feel like when your blogging journey and everything you've done, is the thing that you've done so far, is this path that you've taken so far, like, has it been fulfilling and you've liked it?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think I didn't take a right or a left turn. I think I went right up the middle. And I think that often in life, if you can identify what the middle is, that is the path that's, you know, it's like the road less traveled, you know, it's like, right, the Robert, yeah, Frost poem. That's
screw
very much, that's
through the forest.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you should do, because like life is like often a duality. It's like you're happy or you're unhappy, you know, and if you can find that nice balance between the two, that's what is truly living. And for me, both paths have their own challenges. And I realize that. And so if you want to be a real writer and share your story and share your voice, you know, like you do, Bobby, that's what really attracted me to your content. I was like, this dude is like, yes, like I felt, you know, connected to you without even knowing you. And that's really powerful. And that's the biggest thing I get, like people now buying the book and, you know, they're coming out of the woodwork. People have like, I've read you for over 2 years and, you know, you helped me with this and I love, you know, and we can talk a little bit about that, like the scarcity kind of strategy in a bit that I use. But yeah, it's tough to be a writer. It's tough to be a good writer. And I feel rewarded that the blog to me was so much more of a platform than just a blog. And I was able to, you know, it's like, to me, and not to get too philosophical, like to me, life is like a playground. You know, it's not like I'm going to get from point A to point B. It's like, I'm going to wake up today and like play with this toy and go here, and life is meant to be fully lived and explored. And the blog gives me that ability, where if I one day wake up and I'm like, I'm going to get really technical and geek out on like, you know, my internal linking strategy, I get up and do that. Like I'll spend like 14 hours restructuring my internal links because I love that. It's my, you know, my playpen, or my sandbox. And other days I'll wake up and I'm like, I'm really inspired. I'm going to write 3 posts on these things that I've really been thinking about. Blogging, without a doubt, made me a better writer. It gave me a way to reflect on my own emotions and opinions. It gave me an audience to provide feedback and, probably more importantly, support along the way. Having someone kind of being like, we're here with you, we hear you, thank you, was so much more emotionally rich than I expected. But on the flip side, if I had just done that, and you see this, you see amazing voices, amazing writers, amazing bloggers that never get any attention because they're just going the right path and they haven't optimized anything. And then 3 years down the road, they don't have much traffic and they're like, they abandon it when they were the ones that should have kept going. So just writing from the heart and good content wouldn't have been enough for me if I hadn't also been organizing and structuring the content in the right way. One of the biggest things early on, like I saw, I loved your content, Bobby, but your posts were too short. You know, it was like 500 words and you'd bang out these posts. And I was always just like, gosh, if you just made it twice as long, you know, that's going to set you and just change your title tag. So knowing those technicals and pairing those paths together has been extremely rewarding for me. And I truly believe that if you want to get your voice out there, knowing some of the technical stuff is really essential. And then on the flip side, if you're just trying to churn a bunch of content, maybe being vulnerable and open with your audience, that's exactly what you need. And then the final piece on this is very, very, very hard today to truly, I think, connect with readers with a unique story. I think your story was really unique at your time, Bobby. Your personality really came through your content. My story, it's getting tougher to get noticed in a lot of ways, especially blogging. Instagram is a whole nother realm. I mean, I really think that blogging, I'm bullish on it. I believe in blogging. I do think that it's getting more challenging and is going to get more challenging as just our, you know, patterns change. I really see a switch back to people spending less time online, people spending less time on their phones, which is going to make voice even more important because people are going to get online and show up and be like, oh, I want to hear what Bobby has to say, not just like Google something and then pick the top result.
That's totally happening. I mean, I've seen it in with Bobby and I. You know, we both went on a vacation back in what, September, October, and neither of us have had social media on our phone since then. Like Twitter's gone, Facebook is gone. My business is built around Facebook, but I only, if I don't get on my computer, I don't see Facebook. And it's been a huge change in my life that's allowed me to unplug. And so I definitely see that going there. I want to lift a nugget from what you just said, though. It's going to help us transition to the next topic. But I think one of the biggest things that you said there was talking about, like, if you're doing everything right, adding voice and adding personality is going to help you build that audience and build that loyalty, which is so important. But the people that are really good at that, you know, that vulnerability you're talking about, telling their story, being engaging, being relatable, doing those things, those people have, they're like those really raw athletes that don't know the technical, you know, like you talk about football players that have huge upside, right? And so they have the potential to be the Hall of Famers, but they don't have the technical training yet. And so they get drafted on that, you know, ability. And then the team is hoping that they can kind of mold that clay. And that's what's happening with these bloggers, right? They're getting the audience. They have the engagement. They have these diehard fans. But they haven't gone strategic yet. And Bobby and I talk about that all the time. Like, you have to be strategic. And you have to be more strategic today than you had to be 10 years ago. And we even, you know, talk about like us where we're at. We have to be more strategic, you know, in being 4 or 5 years in the game, whatever it is, than the people that have been in the game for 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And the people that have only been in a year or two, they got to catch up. They've got to be more strategic than we are to be successful. But if you can be strategic, if you can apply good marketing principles, good lead gen principles, good SEO principles, that is what's going to take you to the next level. And so I think that's very incredibly important. And I just, it was one of those things we're talking about, like, you know, how does it feel like, how's this been for you? And we're talking about, you're talking about how rewarding it'd been, but you were giving some really great advice there that I just wanted to highlight. And so speaking to the strategic things with SEO, I think it's really interesting. You were talking to us before the show about the importance of mobile optimization. And Bobby and I have talked on the show before about with Facebook, when you're running ads, mobile's everything, right? And you know, it's most people, I think Facebook, it's like 90% mobile these days. And I know YouTube is incredibly mobile. Google has gotten to where it's almost, you know, going completely mobile now. And so if you could talk a little bit about the importance of mobile to be effective with SEO, because Google's made a very big change on that stance recently. And I think that's one of those things you were mentioning that are going to be super important in 2019 that a lot of our listeners probably aren't even aware of or aren't doing anything about yet. And it's going to hurt them if they don't.
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'm going to cover a few things really quickly. You talked about strategy. And yes, thinking strategically is very important. The most important thing with a strategy is determining where you want to go. And so it's like you can go anywhere. And so my goal is to get a book deal, to be, you know, become a personality. And so everything that I do with the blog is filtered through that. Right. If your blog is to make it, you know, it's not to make as much money as possible blogging. That wasn't my goal. If that's your goal, you're going to make some different choices than I made. So that's an important piece. The other thing is back to the mobile optimization. And this is, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to be good at SEO the more you understand people. And you have to remember that these aren't just visits on in Google Analytics. These are actual real people. And the better you are at understanding people and your audience, the better you're going to be at writing content that ranks. And I simply, that's why it's so much easier to write about something you know about and you care about, because you can put yourself in the mind of the person who's going to be searching. And then always ask yourself before you create any content, what would I want to know? And if the content seems spammy and you're just churning out something, think about how you'd feel going to that page if you did a search and went there. And it's like, if it feels like, oh, like this person, this is just like everything else, it feels that way, then it's going to feel that way to someone else. And so you can only hold yourself to your own standard. There's no one like looking over your shoulder. There's no SEO police. And like, yes, your rankings can obviously be affected, but putting your, the more you know about your reader yourself, the better you're going to be at SEO. And then that extends ultimately into mobile, because mobile devices, obviously, let's think about how someone uses a mobile device. Like, you know, you're standing on the train platform, you're standing in line at the grocery store. We've all been there. You're standing in line waiting to pick up your kid at school. You know, life starts to happen in micro moments, or you're going to bed or you're waking up. Like, it's happening in like, you know, 5 minute increments, 2 minute increments where you're hopping on your phone. And so Google, what you need to do is you need to get as much of the information as possible from the post to the reader in as little time as possible. This doesn't mean you write short posts. It just means like, how can I deliver this? That's why simple things like bullet list at the top of post. And that's why table of contents, even on mobile, are so valuable. Here's what this post is about. Here's where you can go. So someone comes and they see the TOC on a long post. Oh, like I searched for, you know, how to train a puppy. And you search for it and you come on mobile and it's like, the 8 things in the article right there in the little table of contents. Oh, I care about potty training. Boom. You go right there. You can get the content, you know? So it like directs people immediately. And then the content about potty training can be read like with like one scroll. The other piece of the puzzle is that we're now consuming content, obviously, in a lot of different ways. And now it's mobile first and video first. And so sometimes you're busy and you don't have time to scroll and you're just going from place to place. And so doing a simple video, and the important thing here is doing the video yourself versus just taking someone else's video. Google can tell the difference, and having a video sitemap, highly recommended. So just having a YouTube channel, and this is what I did. I launched a YouTube channel. I didn't care about growing a YouTube audience. I didn't care about getting a ton of subscribers. I launched YouTube specifically for SEO. So I'd make little snippets, videos myself, talking about the topic. So you land on the page and then there's like a little, you know, 60-second video about what the post is about. So you've given someone the ability to consume the content in a different way. They can look at the TOC, go to where they want to go, or just press yes on the video. All the time, people will watch the video and just like even have it in their pocket, just listening to what you're saying. And so you're thinking about like, how can I get this information, the highest value to someone as fast? And then obviously that increases your time on mobile page and the consumption of your content. And then, you know, you've added value to the reader, and then Google's going to reward you for that as well. And then on top of that, the higher value content ends up getting more links. And this is the challenge now, because so many people are mobile driven, they're linking less to things. Mm-hmm. And so the value of high quality backlinks has increased exponentially. And that's why things like having a media strategy, having, you know, connecting with other people in your niche is so important. This is completely under leveraged. Like obviously in the personal finance, where a lot of us are connected, but in other niches, it's like people are like, oh, that person writing about horse training, I don't want to get near them. They're my competitor. When in fact you should be getting with them and linking, 100%. You know, and that's one of those things too, where it's like, you know, get friends who blog about the thing you're blogging about, because, you know, the rising tide's going to rise all ships, and it's better for you two to work together and then outrank all those other people who don't have that type of connection and get the backlink.
Man, all awesome stuff. Like every time we talk about this stuff, it's just like my mind just starts going, because I'm just like, oh man, like Grant's got so much good information. I guess the one thing I want to talk about now is, as we get closer to wrapping up the episode, keyword research. Like I feel like there's a lot of information out there about keyword research. Like, you know, Moz will put out something and Ahrefs will put out something. Like everybody puts out these big posts on how to do keyword research. But what's your strategy been? Like, how are you finding keywords? How have you done in the past? How do you think we should do it going forward?
Yeah, so I try to focus on where are people going? How are their minds changing? How are people searching? How's that changing? And then trying to be, not necessarily be there first, but, you know, be a part of the come up instead of just like going and attacking. The traditional keyword strategy is, okay, find those high value keywords that have less competition. And that to me is like fine, but that's a starting point. Everyone's doing the keyword research the same way now. So people using Ahrefs or SEMrush or, you know, even Google Keyword Planner, they're all seeing the fact that here's a keyword that has less competition and then everyone goes after it. So it's kind of like a herd mentality. Whereas I'm trying to find those keywords and those searches that are new, that are showing up, a different variation. Maybe there's a lot less searches, but it's more relevant to how people are now searching. And then putting on that mobile first lens, people search very differently on mobile than they do on desktop. They really do. And so finding out specifically, and that's why if you know your niche really well, you're going to know what people search for. And so I try to be where people aren't yet. Proximity searches are so valuable, so important. Obviously, there's so much happening with Google's personalization layer. And so the next level of SEO is going to be beyond geolocation. It's not just going to be like what's happening kind of near me, but it's going to be like, okay, this is based on my past search history that I'm doing on my phone. And so that next generation of like, how do you appeal to the personalization layer? The more you know about the topic, the easier that ultimately is. And so, I mean, you could literally, I see this all the time, a keyword, a really high value keyword, you know, it might be competitive, but the person who's ranking for it is in a completely different market. And you have an opportunity based on, you know, focusing through on geolocation filters to rank for that keyword in Arizona, to outrank that bigger brand. Yeah. With that being said, I do see, obviously, Google wants to make as much money as possible. I do see now a slight shift. It used to favor the individual content producer, the smaller content creator. Now Google clearly, I think, are shifting back to prioritizing the bigger brands in some ways, like the bigger sites just outrank much faster. The other thing is the Google News feature is kind of trumping a lot of rankings. And so for keywords that there used to not be the news articles showing up in the top, you know, now you see them. And so your ranking gets pushed down. Also on mobile, this is important to note, in some markets, Google, they're testing basically entire first page mobile ads. And so for those really, really high value queries, Google obviously wants to make money. And in some markets, the entire first page is all ads. So all of a sudden, even with the best SEO strategy, you might be page two, and we know page two just doesn't really matter anymore. And so that's another thing to think is like, okay, I can rank for this keyword. I see this even with millennial money. There's so many brands now bidding on millennial money keywords. The CPC is like over $5. So this branded traffic, even when they search for me and my brand, they're seeing an ad for someone else and someone else's product. And that, you know, at some point hurt some of my branded traffic. And so that's one of those things that putting the hat on and be like, oh, even if I go after this and rank for it, someone could just pay, you know, the $5 CPC to outrank me. And so trying to be where people aren't is important.
And obviously it changes over time. Like, and as you're ranking, what's in the rankings is going to change and ads can come in. But I always think it's really important when you're looking at keywords, like you can go use these tools and you can search it, but then you need to go back to Google and you need to like look at what is the top 10. Because like you mentioned with the ads, there's some you look at it and you go, okay, you know, if, and even with the top 10, like the top three is where most of the traffic is, right? And so if you go look at it and the top five are ads, well, you might want to go and get one of those like, you know, keywords that are within the tree, right? But maybe aren't that one. That way you can actually get in there and get some of that traffic juice. So yeah, really, really interesting point. This was a fun episode. I like episodes like this where stuff that I don't know as well, like, and I feel like I get to learn, you know, because it's one, some of these things, like I've been talking, you know, in that space for so long, or I've known some of the people for so long, like, you know, we have a guest on and I'm like, I've heard everything that they have to say, but like Grant, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're bringing is new. I'm not a blogger. So it's like a new world to me. And I've learned a ton over the last year. So really appreciate you doing this. I think a lot of our listeners, we have so many bloggers that listen to the show, are really going to love this. What I want to do to wrap it is I just want to give you an opportunity to take the stage one more time and tell us a little bit more about your book, why people should read it, what they're going to get out of it. I know you were telling us that you've got a big section of the book on side hustles. And I think obviously that's super relevant to our audience. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your book that's going live, you know, launching today so people can go get it and yeah, take it away.
Yeah, so I think it's never been easier in history to make money. We're in a unique period where people 100 years ago would have killed to live in the period. Never been more options to make more money in less time, to live life on your own terms, to build a life that you ultimately love. And I see this book, obviously I'm also a blogger, but I see this book being perfect for bloggers because at the end of the day, it's about making more money in less time so that you have more time to do those things that you love. And, you know, you might be the most technical person in the game and even the best blogger, but if you don't manage your money the right way and invest the right way and save the right way, you're wasting your time. And that's the thing. Every moment we have a decision, and there's often, when it comes to money, a right and a wrong decision. Even growing your business, there's a right and a wrong decision. And so, you know, I was able to go from $2.26 to over $1 million in 5 years. And that was primarily because, you know, I made the right decisions, not only with how I optimized my full-time job, but then how I started different side hustles and then launched them. I turned two of my side hustles into full-time companies. I grew one of them into a pretty large company with over 30 employees. And I have a wide variety of experience that I've put in the book to help you make the most of your time. Because, for example, even making money blogging, if you're not investing that money in the right way, you're wasting time. You're wasting time that your money could grow. And that's one of the things. If you think that time is money or money is time, you're going to make trade-offs for it that you don't need to make. And that's the thing. You can always go out and make more money, but you can never get back your time. You can never get back this moment. And so the book is designed to help you legitimately make more money in all areas of your life and then know what to do with it so you have more time to live that life that you love, whether that's, you know, traveling full time or being able to, you know, not have to work after 3 p.m. every day so you can hang out with your kids, or, you know, ultimately it's all wrapped up into one. And so make the most of your time, make the most of all the hustle that you're putting in, growing your business, growing your blog. Don't waste it by, even if you're making a lot of money, not doing the right thing with it. So the book is much more about helping you live a rich life and figuring out what that means and how basically have more money than you'll ever need to do that as quickly as possible than it is about just, you know, how to invest. So the side hustle chapter is really detailed, the optimizing your full-time job, the, you know, there's some about blogging in there, certainly. And obviously I'm a blogger, so I have that experience. And so I think it's perfect for bloggers. I think it's perfect for anyone that wants to take their money game to the next level. And the last thing is, I've read over 400 personal finance and investing books, and 99.9% of them are complete fluff. There's one idea, there's two ideas. And this thing, because I value your time, I wanted it to be the highest ROI money book ever. And so it's just nonstop, step by step, you know, here's the best decision to make, here's why, here's how to do it. And it's a complete scalable system. So no matter where you are in your own money life, it's designed to get you to the next level with the goal of becoming financially independent when you have enough money for the rest of your life as quickly as possible. It took me 5 years, 3 months, and 6 days to do it. I made a lot of trade-offs. I was pretty crazy. I talk about those trade-offs I made. But even if you're able to become financially independent in 10 years or less, you're going to be so far ahead of everyone else. And yeah, I didn't write the book to make money. I mean, I did it with Penguin Random House. They make all the money. You know, I make like literally like a dollar a book, and I'm not selling any $10,000 coaching product. I don't have a, you know, anything that you can buy after. It's literally the highest ROI money book in the game. And I know because I've read them all. And that's what I'm excited about, just that you can, for like $14 on Kindle or like $15 for a hardcover, you know, $15 for an ebook or an audiobook, you can get all of this information that literally it'll change your life. I stand so strongly behind that. If you read it and it doesn't help you in some way, seriously, just email me and let me know. But it's really that's what it's designed to do. And I did it to give back to everyone, because everyone deserves more time and space and freedom and a life that they love. So check it out, financialfreedombook.com. Just search Financial Freedom on Amazon. It's going to be the big, bright blue book on the top. Head out to Barnes & Noble, support your local bookstores, get it there. And yeah, and then, you know, hit me up. There's a private Facebook community just for people who bought the book to get support along the way. I built 9 calculators that are part of the book. Those are all at financialfreedombook.com/tools. You can use those for free right now. You don't even have had to buy the book. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you can always make more money, can never get back your time. So make the most of it. And yeah, I'm just really, really stoked to get this in people's hands and to change some lives.
So you can find the link. I know like you're probably listening and you're like, go to blahblahblah.com. Just look in the show notes. We've got the link there. You'll be able to find it super easy. I'm looking forward to reading it. And honestly, I'm looking forward to going to the audiobook because Grant told us he was given a little bit of leeway. So there's some fresh nugs that maybe weren't in the book, you know, where he just got to kind of go off a little bit. And if you liked what you heard in the podcast today, I'm sure you're going to like, you know, the little tangents that Grant's going to take in the audiobook. And I'm actually looking forward to that. I always love when authors do that. So Grant, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We're definitely going to have to get you back on, talk about some other things. Best of luck with the book launch. We're hoping you absolutely crush it and get that book in as many hands as possible. And yeah, we'll see y'all next time.
Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.
We out.
We out.